We're in a process of preaching through some ideas about God's grace given to us, and God gives His grace to us so we can give grace to other people. Grace given, grace extended to others. And we've talked about a number of different people. Today we're going to talk about Joseph. And I'll let you all know that Joseph was not an especially wonderful guy. Can I make this thing move? Aha, I did. Fantastic. I'm trying a new device here. It actually works. Joseph, we begin our story, he's 17 years old. He is the favorite son of his father and the most despised son of all of his brothers. And so Joseph, he's just favored. He gets all the good stuff. He gets all the favorable treatment. His brothers really don't like him. Joseph has a bunch of dreams, and one of the dreams is there's a whole gathering of wheat, and his bundle of wheat is really tall, and all of his brothers' bundles of wheat are small, and then they bow down to him. I have a 300-pound, 6'6 brother. I never would have gone up to him and did to him what Joseph did to his brothers, but he told him the dream. You guys one day will be bowing down to me, and they said, like, whatever. And it's not going to happen, all right? And so what they did is they just sold him into slavery. That's a long story. Starts in Genesis chapter 37. You can read it. I'm going to shorten it up. But they sold him into slavery. Now, what's really interesting, starting with the beginning of the story, all the way through the story, there's one theme that goes through, and that is God was with him. So he's a slave to Potiphar. Potiphar's a big shot with the Egyptian government. And God's with him, and so he rises to the top. So he's an important place. In that place, and we don't know quite how long he served, but it took him a while to rise to the top. Potiphar's wife thinks he's kind of cute. He's kind of filled out, gotten bigger from his 17-year-old scrawny frame, and he's put on some muscle and, you know, all that good stuff. So she thinks, huh, this is a nice guy. And she puts some moves on him. And Joseph has a commitment to God and a commitment to Potiphar that says, I'm not going there. And so what he does is he ends up running from the advances of Potiphar's wife. And I'm going to stop here. We're going to talk for a few minutes about running from sin. And Josh, you start, and then we'll go to Jake.
This is a pretty common topic in the Sunday school class that I'm in and in the Wednesday night group that I'm in. And I didn't know that we were teaching something that was so biblical because our saying is, run. And that's exactly what this guy did. So let's dig into this a little bit. In the first service, we talked about there's a bunch of blatant stuff in our lives that's obvious that when it comes to us that we identify it. And we look at it and we go, that is definitely going to destroy my life. I need to run. And you can make your own list. I got my list, and we all have our list of stuff that's like, I already know, that's going to destroy my life. I'm going to run. Right, Justin? That's the inside deal. We got to think about run. And then there's some other stuff that we should run from also. But it's a little more deceptive. And it kind of lures us in slowly. And we have our own list of that too. And some of that stuff is gossip and talking behind people's backs and maybe members of the opposite sex and the stuff that lures you in that you don't really want to run from. And yeah.
Well, when you see something tempting, Josh, it's right here, you should just run away from it. I mean, it's right there in the Bible, and it seems silly in real life. It seems like, oh no, I can handle this. You know, I'm busy, or this thing's going on. I can handle it. I'm a pretty good guy. Joseph was a pretty good guy. But imagine if Potiphar's wife comes into the bedroom, and Joseph's like, no, I'm not going to do anything with you. I'm just going to sit here on the corner of the bed, and I'm just not going to do anything with you. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to ignore you. Like, that's not how it works. But in life, we think, well, I can fill my life with this stuff, or I can have this thing in my house, or or I can hang around these people. And there's a temptation right there. And if it's right in front of you, day after day after day, all your energy is going to go to, oh, I got to not do that. I got to not do that. Just get away from it. Just take 10 steps in the opposite direction and then breathe a sigh of relief. Like, get the thing out of your house or get away from that relationship instead of wasting all your energy trying not to do it but standing right next to it.
Yeah, and I think that, you see, the reason why the second list of stuff is so deceptive is that it isn't the stuff that's going to destroy you on the spot. It's just the stuff that does this. The fire that I once had to read the Word of God and to be at church, it's not gone at first. It just starts to take the back seat for a little bit. It's still right there, but it's not leading my life now. And that's why it's so deceptive, is it's just like, it's my little pet, and it happens slow.
Yeah. This is really important. Preaching can be entertainment, okay? And so I'm really glad you were the one that jumped off the platform instead of me.
Drew straws beforehand.
Yeah, we.
I got, you know.
You know, they'd have to get me a walker.
Bob did it in the first service.
You know, all right. Preaching can be entertainment, but there's something here that you need to really hear. This is not entertainment. This is about your life. Okay, literally, this is about your life. And if you can today say, when that sin, and you can name it, you know right now what I'm talking about. And it's different from everybody in here. But if you can say right now, I choose today that I'm running from that. That has no place in my life. You know, and we talk about, I don't know how many people have told me when they got clean and sober that they found a bag of meth somewhere. That is the craziest thing in the world. And that's true. Run from that. But I also have a friend who's easily offended. And I remember him telling me, he said, I have made a choice that no one can offend me. That's a big statement to make. You today can think, what is the thing that gets me? And I choose today that is not going to get me. When it comes my way, I'm out of here. I'm running from it. Okay? There's another whole part of it. You guys want to, anything more you want to add?
Yeah, just to say, just to get practical about it. Think about the sin you struggle with and think, how can I practically stop it? I struggled with a sin several years ago, and I just took the internet out of my apartment for a while, for months. Just took it out because there was something I was doing that was wrong, and I just needed to stop doing it. So I just had to get rid of it. It was inconvenient. Joseph running out of his boss's house wasn't convenient, but it was getting him away from the sin. You know what you struggle with, and sit down and get a strategy of, like, how am I going to actually stop? How am I going to actually get away physically from what's
And if you keep
me.
If you keep reading the story, he leaves his coat there. He's like, my life's more important than my coat. But how many times are we like, I'm just going to go back to get the coat? You know what I mean? I just want to go look at the coat one more time. You know, I mean, it sounds kind of funny, but it's reality is that maybe there's some stuff that you might have to leave behind that may be important to you. And it's hey, chalk it up as a loss.
Yeah, it's better to lose your coat than your life.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Now, God was with him. Y'all got that? Because that's a big theme. And God's even with him when Potiphar's wife lies on him and they throw him in jail. So he's now a young man and he's looking through striped sunlight. Okay? And I've talked to early service and I just said all three of us have been locked up in one way or another. Now, Josh is the official version, but Jake and I also have the less official version. All right? Why do I have to keep doing that, huh? but we've all three had examples. God was with us in the middle of that. It was not fun. Every day, there's somebody that sits in this building and they're going through the toughest time in their life, as tough as it is being locked up unfairly. And you need to hear that God is with you, okay? So I'm going to stop right here, and I'm going to ask these guys just to tell their story about being in tough situations. Let's start with Jake and go to Josh.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thing about Joseph. Joseph did the right thing at this point. He ran away from the sin, and the next step is he gets in jail. And sometimes we go through life, and we start following God, and we're doing the right things, and we look around, and we think, why am I in such a crummy situation? I've been doing the right things. And sometimes people will despair and get mad and throw their Bible away and say, I'm done with this. But that's not what Joseph did when he was in jail. So as I was looking at his story this week, I thought about my life, and I became a Christian at a pretty young age, and I definitely am not a perfect person, but by the time I was in high school and college, I was trying to do things God's way, trying to follow God. And there's a lot of things I said no to in high school and in college and got laughed at for saying no to, and a lot of things I did that I didn't want to do that were hard, that were scary, because Jesus wanted me to do them. But when I graduated college, I had an opportunity to do a job I thought was going to be kind of glamorous. But I felt pretty clear that God wanted me to go get mentored by Joey Butler, by a pastor in Blue Springs, which is my hometown. And so to make that a reality, I had to go live with my parents and had to go work as a groundskeeper some of the time, and I worked at a gas station some of the time. So I just graduated from college. I was back in my hometown. I was running into people I knew in high school, and I was on the other side of a cash register for these people that hadn't seen me in years. And it wasn't a fun year. Like, it wasn't a cool year. It's not cool to live with your parents when you're 22 or whatever I was. And it wasn't easy. You know, I'd said no to a lot of things in college, and then I'd found myself in a spot that was kind of lonely over that year, too. So even though it wasn't a physical prison, it wasn't bars, it wasn't an awesome life from the outside. But the awesome thing about God is God knows where he wants to take us. And so when he gives us advice, when he says this is the next step for you, it's the next step for you because he knows your destination. And so if you know your destination, you pick a route, you don't necessarily think you picked the route because of you're heading this way. And when God picks a route for you, he knows where he wants you to end up. He knows the whole journey. So now when I look back at that moment, my pastor Joey, an incredible man, he died this last year. That opportunity to be mentored by him is so precious to me that I took the time to go and spend quality time with him. And it prepared me for a lot of things that have already come up, just down in Mexico and here at Maywood, that time with Joey and figuring my life out that year. And so even though it didn't look like a good career move on the outside, it didn't look like a good social move to any of my friends, it didn't feel super fun, it was definitely the right step to take. And when we get to Joseph's story here in a little bit, he's going to get out of prison and have a huge amount of responsibility and authority dropped into his lap. But he was faithful when he was a slave, and he was faithful when he was in prison. And so he's ready to actually help people when he gets this awesome, gracious authority. And when I look back at my own life already, like this weekend, Chris is our guest speaker. He was at seminary with me. So when I was showing the guys around the church, we had some people sleeping in my office this week. And the office that you guys have given me here at Maywood is ridiculous. It's huge, I feel like, and it's really nice. And it feels a little crazy to be in there. But I see that, like, God has prepared me for the opportunities that he's given me now. He was preparing me for them years ago when things didn't look so cool around me. And he didn't give Joseph that awesome authority so Joseph could sit back and say, fan me and give me grapes or something like that. He gave it to him so he could help other people. And we'll talk about his story in a minute. But when you walk with God, he's going to take you to a place where you now have the ability to help other people. He's going to take you to a place where you can do amazing things in the lives of other people. If you'll stay with him in those dark times. If you'll stay with them, even when it doesn't seem fair, Joseph's life is not fair. But since he's faithful, Joseph has an incredible life.
Yeah, that's great. And I love when he talks about that. This is reality. And there was a time in my life where I was sitting in a jail cell, and the sheriff was like, "I'm not supposed to give you anything in this cell because you're in the hole." And I was in the hole, and he said, "But today's your lucky day." And there was nothing except for in this whole wing except for one book. And I remember the sheriff grabbed it and he tossed it and it hit the floor and it slid underneath my door. He goes, "It's your lucky day. You ain't gonna believe what the book was." The book, I read this book because it was the only thing to read. And it was a story about this guy. The gist of the book was, can you praise God when your life ain't very good? That was the whole gist of this book. Now, what was the odds of me getting that book at that time? The reason I tell you this story is because the very foundation of my faith was formed that day. I got on my knees that morning and I said, "God, yeah, I can sit here and say thank you right now that I was in a tough spot because I was like, Jesus, I got saved and I stopped living like that. And I've been following you and I've been worshiping you and I've been doing all this stuff's right. And I'm in jail in the hole, man. I thought I was supposed to have this awesome life when I'm with you. But I can still get on my knees right now and say, Jesus, I trust you." And if you're in that spot right now, if you're in a tough spot in your life right now, I promise you this, that what is meant for harm, God will use it for good. The song we just sang, nothing formed against you can prosper. God will use your adversities as the very foundation of what you're standing on in Him. I promise you.
So Joseph was in prison. And we don't know how long he was in prison. Prison, those of you who've been there know how lousy it is now. Can you imagine what it's like a few thousand years ago?
They didn't even have a pull-up bar in the yard back then.
No, they didn't. Didn't have dips, nothing. Walk a lap, none of that. All right? And so he was in prison. He not only had dreams, he was able to interpret dreams. God was with him. There were a couple of guys in there that had dreams. He interpreted dreams. One of them, he said, "I have good news for you. You're getting out." The other guy, he said, "I have bad news for you. You're getting out, but you're getting out to get executed." And that happened. And so, and then along came the Pharaoh. I'm going to tell the story quickly. The Pharaoh had a dream, and it was about a whole bunch of cows. Seven of them looked like that, big and fat. But then the next dream was seven cows that looked like that one. And so nobody could tell the story of what that dream was about. And the fellow who'd gotten released came to the Pharaoh, and he said, "I know the story. There's a man who is in prison. Let him out, and he will tell you the story." And so Joseph got out of prison, and he said, "The seven fat cows are, we're going to have a lot of success in our country, but we need to store away all of our goods. The seven lean cows are, this whole region is going to be full of a famine. And we can make a killing." I'm going to give Spradling translation. "We can make a killing in grain. And so we store up the grain. You'll become a rich man." And Pharaoh says, "I like that." And so he said, "You'll now be my first man in charge." Now, I quickly went through that because I really want to make an important point. I believe this with all my heart. God wants to use people. Not because he has to use it, because we get to have the joy of being used by God. And amen. The people that God uses, he first breaks. He puts them through dungeon, prison, difficult, hard times. He puts us through that so he can trust us. If God can trust Jake to reel in his ego enough that instead of taking the immediate position and he goes and he works in a gas station, he works out doing some other things while he's mentored by Joey Butler, if he can trust him to do that, God can trust him to pastor a church the size of Maywood. Okay? Amen? So you first have to walk through the testing. We have no idea what God's going to do with Josh. Okay? Josh and Jake together, quite frankly. Their future is out in front of them, and it is good. It is going to be fun. All right? I have no idea what God's going to do with these two guys. But he had to put them through a place where they said, God, if I'm not with you, I'm a wreck. I don't know how many times Josh has said to me and to other people, if I'm not living significant time with the Lord and obeying him, you don't want to be around me. I have a feeling I don't want to be around you, okay? But I'm glad you're walking with the Lord. Now, then that's their story. But the one I want to turn it to is I want to turn it to your story. We are not three guys up here who are putting on a show, and you all are the paying customers. We are, as the teenager said, we are a family. We're all here together. We all work together. You're a team. We're the coaches. Amen? That's our role. Yeah, I'm seeing back here Marilyn Timmons applauding. She is a major team player. You know, love listening to stuff that she talks to me about. So you are team players. We are team players. So if today you are in a tough place, don't run from it. Run from the sin, but don't run from the tough place. Stay with the Lord and let him take you through it. And let him achieve in your life what he wants to achieve in your life, because he has something to do both in you and through you. Now, Joseph had a pretty good place, all right? And I'm going to zip through his pretty good place. He went from here. There was the famine. It did come along. His brothers did come see him. He played some mind games with the brothers. They thought he was probably, after their dad died, going to execute him. But instead, this is what he had to say to them. He said, you intended to harm me, but God. Folks, this story is a story of but God. God interrupting Joseph's life when he's 17, when he's 30, when he's nearing 40. God kept showing up in his life. So when you look at your life, you need to look for, God, where are you in this? And you need to find out, what is your word in my situation? He says, you intended harm, but God intended good, to accomplish what's now being done, the saving of many lives. I'm going to tell you something. There is someone's life who can be saved only by you. They won't listen to me. They won't listen to Jake. They won't listen to Josh. They won't listen to Lisa on the piano. They're not going to listen to any of us. It's your role to play. And so if you will walk through the running away from sin, if you will walk through the tough times of your life of being obedient to God, and if you will be open to him, God will not only save you and transform you, but he will touch somebody else through you. Dear friend, do not look at me and say, well, that's really great for you, preacher, but I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm not mature enough, or I'm not this, or I'm not. That is not true. I'm talking to you. All right? And so we're going to have a time of response for you to say yes to God. God, if the word for me today is to run from the sin that's been grabbing me, that's the word you want to respond to. If there's some of you who are really going through tough times, come up here and let us support you in prayer and to lift you up. If there's somebody here who needs to get off the back burner of life and get involved in somebody's ministry, say, come on, God, I now volunteer. Respond as God speaks. Let's go ahead and stand, please. Jake, lead us in prayer, and the worship team will lead us.
God, I thank you so much that you reach out to us, that you love us, and you want to step into whatever mess we're in and show us the next step to take. God, I pray right now we would think in our minds, what am I going to do with Jesus today and tomorrow? It's in your name we pray. Amen.